Jai Om Vishnupad.
Paramahamsa.
Charya. Also Tedo
Shimad. His Divine Grace. Abhaya Chanana Bhaktivedanta Gosami. Srila Prabhupada Gijai. Iskan Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Gijai. Ananda Goti. Vaishnavrinda Gijai. Namacharya. Srila Vilas Thakura Gijai. Prem Se Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Parau Nichilanda Sidwaita Gadadha Shivasana Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopatnath Sai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai. Vrinda Vrinda Gijai. Mathura Gijai. Jagannatha Swami Gijai. Yamunamai Gijai. Shivani Lala Sudevi Gijai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai. Gaur Prevananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tidamini Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Pracharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi. Pashacha Deja Tarani. So Omaganat Timidanda Shaganjana Shlakya Taksud Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, it's good to see everybody tonight, or in the morning, or wherever you are. And so we're going to continue with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading from one of the most interesting chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this chapter is Chapter 8, which details Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, or exchanges, with Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy is basically answering Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's questions, which are asked in a rhetorical vein. Rhetorical means that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows the answer, but he's asking the questions to draw out what Ramananda Roy has realized, and Ramananda Roy is attributing all of his answers to Lord Chaitanya. He's stating that he feels like a puppet, a marionette, that's being controlled by the strings, and the strings are controlled by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now we'll continue. Turn off this sound vibration. So now we'll continue with our reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we are continuing with text 140 in the 8th chapter of the Majjalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very, very important discussions here. Okay. Tasam avirabhuchchauri smayamana mukambujaha Pitambara dada shavvi shagvi sakshan man matta man tataha. When Krishna left the Rasa Leela dance, the gopis became very morose. And when they were grieving, Krishna reappeared dressed in yellow garments, wearing a flower garland and smiling. He was so attractive, he was attractive even to Cupid. In this way, Krishna appeared among the gopis. This is the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 32nd chapter, text 2. Nano Bhaktera Samrita Nana Vidahoya Se Sabara Samritera Vishaya Ashraya. Each and every devotee has a certain type of transcendental mellow in relation to Krishna. But in all transcendental relationships, the devotee is the worshipper and Krishna is the object of worship. Vishaya. Vishaya also means enjoyer. And Ashraya, of course, means the repository or the shelter. So, the devotee has bhakti, and that bhakti is focused on Krishna. Akila rasamrita murti prasrimara ruchi rila taraka pali kalita syama lalito radha prayan vidur jayati. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be glorified. By virtue of his expanding attractive features, he subjugated the gopis named Taraka and Pali and absorbed the minds of Shama and Lalita. He is the most attractive lover of Srimati Radha Rani and is the reservoir of pleasure for devotees in all transcendental mellows. Prabhupada explains that everyone has a particular transcendental mellow by which he loves and serves Krishna. Krishna is the most attractive feature for every kind of devotee. He is therefore called Akila Rasamrita Murti, the transcendental form of attraction for all kinds of devotees, which is that what it means. Whether a devotee be in the Shantaras, Dasaras, Lakiras, Vatsayaras, or Madhuyaras. This is the opening verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, interestingly enough, it is indicated that each and every one of us has a particular mellow which we have forgotten and we are not aware of. And so the whole process of Krishna consciousness is what? Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadvagni Vivrapanam. To cleanse the mirror of the heart, the mirror of the mind, so you can actually see who you are. Just like sometimes if you're taking a shower and there's a lot of hot water in the shower, which you shouldn't be doing because that is Maya, the mirror will fog up and you will not be able to see yourself to put your makeup on. So, therefore, you have to wipe the mirror off so you can actually see yourself and say, "Ooh, that's who I am." So, in the same way, we have to wipe the dust from the heart, and the dust from the heart's been accumulated for many, many births. It's like a room or house that hasn't been cleansed for billions of years. And so it takes a lot of cleaning. And Prabhupada said, if we try to clean the dust from the heart without the chanting of the holy name, he described it like trying to cleanse a piece of coal. The more you try to clean a piece of coal, the more the coal appears blackish, or it doesn't change its color at all. So, therefore, we need Krishna's help. Shringara rasa raja maya murti dhara atayvatma paryanta sarva chitakara. Krishna is all attractive for devotees in all mellows, that means all relationships. Oh, mellows is not relationship, it's the taste of relationship. Because he is the personification of the conjugal mellow. Krishna is attractive not only to all the devotees, but to himself as well. Wow. Vishvesha manu ranjanena janayhan anandamid indivara shreni shamala kamalar Upanagyananga Anangotsavam Svachandam Raja Sundaribir Abhita Prachyanga Malingita Shingara Saki Mutimani Bamadau Mugdo Hari Kridati. My dear friends, just see how Sri Krishna is enjoying the season of spring. With the gopis embracing each of his limbs, he is like amorous love personified. With his transcendental pastimes, he enlivens all the gopis and the entire creation with his soft, bluish black arms and legs, which resemble blue lotus flowers. He has created a festival for Cupid. This is a verse from the Gita Govinda Acharya Goswami, 1.1.11. Lakshmi Kantari Avatare Rahare Manha Lakshmi Adinari Ganera Hare Akarshana. He also attracts Narayan, who is the incarnation of Sankarshan and the husband of the goddess of fortune. He attracts not only Narayan, but also all women headed by the goddess of fortune, the consort of Narayana. Dvijatmaja me yuvayor didrikshuna mayopanita buvidharma guptaye kalavatirna babate avaner barasuran adveha buyas twarayetam antime. Addressing Krishna and Arjuna, Lord Mahavishnu, the Mahapurusha, said, I wanted to see both of you, and therefore I brought the sons of the Brahmana here. Both of you have appeared in the material world to re-establish religious principles, and you have both appeared here with all your potencies. After killing all the demons, please quickly return to the spiritual world. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 89th chapter, text 58, concerning Krishna's endeavor to take Arjuna beyond the material universe when Arjuna was searching for the sons of a Brahmin. Lord Mahavishnu, who is situated beyond this material world, was also attracted by the bodily features of Krishna. Mahavishnu had actually stolen the sons of the Brahmin and Dwarka so that Krishna and Arjuna would come visit him. This verse is quoted to show that Krishna is so attractive that he attracts Mahavishnu. And I'll tell the whole story about this. Once upon a time, Arjuna was visiting Krishna in Dwarka. And in Dwarka, the king was Ugrasena, and Krishna was also there. Krishna's also a king. He's the king of kings. So what happened is that in Dwarka, there was a Brahmin who had a son. And the son passed away right after being born. Now, you may think, this is normal. You know, kids sometimes die. But not where the kingdom is pious, like Ram Raj or Krishna Raj or some pious kingdom. The king is actually responsible. So this Brahmana went to the palace where the king was, and Krishna was also there, and Arjuna was there. And the Brahmana started to criticize Krishna. He says, Krishna is there, and Krishna is there, and you can't do anything. How is this happening where Krishna is present? And so it happened once, it happened again, it happened a few times. I don't remember how many times it actually happened, but it happened a few times where the Brahmana's son died. Well, the same, not the same son, but the Brahmana kept having more sons. Anyway, so eventually Arjuna says, I'll take care of it. You know, I'm the mighty Arjuna with my Gandhi-babo. He became very proud, like a Kshatriya does. And he said, I can take care of it, and I vow that I will make sure this Brahmin's son doesn't die, doesn't get taken away. And if anything happens to this Brahmin's son, then I will kill myself. So Krishna said, not a good idea, Arjuna, you're taking these vows. He goes, many times I have to protect your vows because you take these completely impractical vows, like when you wanted to kill Jayadratha. Anyway, so Arjuna. Okay. Arjuna takes that vow, he goes to the Brahmana's house, and lo and behold, the next son of the Brahmana disappears. And the Brahmana gets very angry and says, you know, you were so damn proud. I trusted you, Arjuna. And look, my son is gone. And Arjuna got ready to kill himself. And Krishna said, this is not a good idea. Let's go for a ride. So Krishna harnessed his transcendental horses, not mundane horses. And he put Arjuna on the chariot, and they went through the coverings of the material universe where they used extreme brightness, extreme darkness. Even the horses were scared at one particular junction. Krishna had to light up everything with their Sudarshana disc, and eventually they reached the Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu had taken the sons of the Brahmin. And Mahavishnu said, I took the sons of the Brahmin, and Krishna, because I wanted to see you. So you may think, how or why did he not see Krishna when he went to Dwarka to steal the sons? Well, it wasn't Krishna's desire that he would see him at that particular juncture. Krishna wanted to enact this particular pastime and show that even Mahavishnu's other incarnations are attracted to him. In fact, all of Krishna's expansions are servants of Krishna, even though all the expansions of Krishna are actually non-different than Krishna. Advaita, Chuta, Nadir, Anatarupam, Ajum, Purana, Purisham, Navayovanam cha. As the Brahma Samhita states, there is one God, but he just manifests himself differently, simultaneously in different places. Inconceivably, achincha. Unless you accept this principle of achincha, especially in our philosophy, achincha, beta, abeda, tatva, then you can never understand Krishna, because if you think Krishna is chincha, that is understandable, because chincha sometimes means anxiety. But anyway, if you think that Krishna is understandable, then you're thinking that Krishna is not God, because God means unlimited, unlimited beauty, unlimited power, unlimited opulence in all sorts of ways, and we are only able to conceive limited things. And in the material world, our conceptions or our perceptions of limited things are imperfect. In the spiritual world, you know, then we can perceive certain things perfectly, but to understand Krishna perfectly is impossibilito for jiva soul. And even Krishna tries to understand himself perfectly in his various expansions, such as Anantashesh, and he never comes to an end. So even he can't understand himself. Even he's attracted to himself. So in other words, Krishna attracts even his various expansions. He is so attracted. That's why he's called Krishna. And that's why when we chant the name Krishna, we become overwhelmed with ecstasy. Because the name Krishna has three times the attraction of Rama and 1,000 times the attraction of Vishnu. And unlimitedly more attractive potency than anything in this world that you have ever experienced. I mean, you're all attracted to different things, like a beautiful sunrise, sunset, purple mountains, majesty, a beach, or a beautiful person, or a handsome guy. But Krishna is unlimitedly more attractive than any of those different features of the material energy. So that's a higher taste. When you see Krishna, just like let me tell a story. And I told this story before, some of you remember it. Once upon a time, there was a man who was very attracted to his girlfriend, and he kept looking in her eyes. Look in my eyes. You are beautiful. Look at her eyes. Anyway, he kept looking in her eyes. He was walking backwards, fanning her. He was just so much entranced. And one great devotee, Ramanujacharya, asked him, why are you so entranced with this girl walking backwards, fanning her, holding an umbrella over her head? And he said, she has such beautiful eyes. And Shripad Ramanujacharya said, if I can show you someone with more beautiful eyes, will you want to see that person? And that night, Shripad Ramanujacharya took this person, his name was Dhanardas, to see the Lord Varadharaja. And when he took a look at the Lord's lotus eyes, he immediately fainted. And then he thought, in comparison, my girlfriend's eyes just don't make it anymore. So that's why Krishna is called Madan Mohan. It means he attracts Cupid. So what does that mean? That if we're attracted to Krishna, then Cupid can't affect us. Wow. You have immunity. But that doesn't mean just because you chanted your rounds this morning you have immunity. It doesn't mean because you're initiated you have immunity. It means as long as you are remembering Krishna, that's why Kirtaniya Siddhahari, that we always chant Krishna's name. And there's immunity. Like if you see something attractive in this world, just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that thing won't look so attractive to you anymore. It really works like that. It's pretty amazing. Okay, let's go on. Pasyana Bhavasyana Deva Vidmehe Tavangri Renu Parashadikaraha Yadvunchya Shrir Alala Nacharatapo Vihayaman Suchiram Jritavrata. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 16th Chapter, Text 36, and was spoken by the wives of the Kaliya serpent. I think we all know that story. I don't have to tell it. Apana Madhurye Hare Apana Ramana Apana Pani Chahe Karite Alingana. Lord Krishna's sweetness is so attractive that it steals away his own mind. Thus even he wants to embrace himself. Wow. Apari Kalidata Purva Kash Chamakara Kari Spuriti Mama Kariyanesha Madurya Puraha Ayam Aham Apihanta Rekshayam Lubdha Chittaha Saravasam Upaboktum Kamaye Radhi Keva. Upon seeing his own reflection in a bejeweled pillar of his Dwarka palace, Krishna desired to embrace it, saying, Alas, I've never seen such a person before. Who is he? Just by seeing him, I have become eager to embrace him, exactly like Srimati Radharani. This is a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava, 8th chapter, text 34. Of course, that's one of the reasons why Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to see himself and appreciate his own beauty from Radharani's perspective. Eta sangshepe kahila krishnera sarupa Ebe sangshepe kahi shunarada tattva rupa. Sri Ramananda Roy then said, I have thus briefly explained the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now let me describe the position of Srimati Radharani. These are going to be very intimate descriptions. Krishnera anantashakti Tatitina Pradhana Jachakti Maya Shakti Jiva Shakti Nama. Krishna has unlimited potencies which can be divided into three main parts. These are the spiritual potency, the material potency, and the marginal potency, which is known as the living entities. Vishnu Shakti Parabhakta I think we've described this before, but just very briefly. Here's a spiritual energy, material potency, that's us. That's not us, sorry. The marginal potency is us, because we can go either way. And the material potency is the unconscious potency of the Lord, which is avidya karma. That means ignorance and activities. Antaranga bahiranga tatashtakahi are. Antaranga Surup Shakti Savaro Pare. In other words, these are all potencies of God, internal, external, and marginal. But the internal potency is the Lord's personal energy and stands over the other two. Now here's the verse I just quoted. Vishnu Shakti Para Prapta Shetra Yakya Tata Para Vidikarma Sankanya Pithira Shakti Ishtate. The original potency of Lord Vishnu is superior or spiritual, and the living entity actually belongs to the superior energy. We do. But there's another energy called material energy, and this energy, this third energy, is full of ignorance. It's a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 6761. So even though we belong to the spiritual potency in one sense, we're the superior energy, because we are small, we can be influenced by the external or material potency. The example sometimes the Prabhupada gives is like a spark when it falls out of the fire. That's us. When a spark falls out of the fire, the spark can gradually become extinguished. Of course, we never become completely extinguished, but the spark can become, for all intents and purposes, extinguished. But then when you put the spark back in the fire, the spark retains its original nature. But a spark is a spark is a spark, and we were a spark, and we fell out of the fire of Krishna. Satchitananda maya krishnara svarupa atayava svarupa shakti hayatina rupa. Originally, Lord Krishna is Satchitananda vigraha. That's from the Brahma Samhita 5.1. The transcendental form of eternity, blessed knowledge. Therefore, his personal potency, the internal potency, has three different forms. Wow. So this is the spiritual potency we're going to talk about right now. So there's three potencies: spiritual potency, marginal potency, that's us buddies, and then you have the material potency. But right now we're talking about the spiritual potency, which has three different aspects to it. Anandam se ladini sarang se sandini chiram se sambit yare jnana karimani. Ladini is this aspect of bliss, sandini of eternal existence, and sambit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. So let's put it in terms that you may recognize better. Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Sounds familiar? Sat means eternal existence. Chit means spiritual knowledge. Cognizance, to be aware. Cognizance means to be aware of something. Or pratyaksha, a direct perception of the Absolute. And then, finally, Satchit and Ananda. Ananda means unlimited bliss. And if you don't know what bliss means, it means happiness. So, Ladini, Sandini, Sambit. Those are the three words again. Ladini is the pleasure potency, Sandini is the existential potency, the Sat, and Sambit is the cognitive or knowledge potency in the spiritual realm. Twaihe ka sarva samshraye ladatapa kari mishra twaino gunavarjite. My dear Lord, you are the transcendental reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Your pleasure potency, existence potency, or existential potency, and knowledge potency are actually all one internal spiritual potency. The conditioned soul, although actually spiritual, sometimes experiences pleasure, sometimes pain, sometimes a mixture of pain and pleasure. This is due to is being touched by matter. But because you are above all material qualities, these are not found in you. Your superior spiritual potency is completely transcendental, and for you there is no such thing as relative pleasure, pleasure mixed with pain, or pain itself. It's a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 1.12.69. So sometimes we explain this in a very simple way. The spiritual potency has three aspects. Satchitananda, which we just explained, eternity, bliss, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Sorry, got them in the wrong order. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Satchitananda. Okay. So there's three aspects to the internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the material world, we have the three aspects of our experience in the material realm, the jiva's experience in the material realm, which are the opposite of Sat, Chit, and Ananda. What is the opposite of Sat, Chit, and Ananda? Asat. We put the A in front of it. It's the opposite. Asat means temporary. And what does the Bhagavad Gita tell us about temporary things? I'll explain. Nasato vijate bhavo, nabhavo vijate sataha. We are happy to understand that's 20 old stuff, but there should be. The sages see that those things are temporary, are in one sense unreal, because they have no substantial existence. Even though they may exist temporarily, like a soap bubble, it exists. It does. But it's really unreal. Because it's here today, gone tomorrow. And similarly, all the things we have in this life, all possessions, whatever, they're gone at a certain time. I was explaining to the devotees earlier today that I've been talking to my mother recently, who has some forgetfulness of her previous life, or not previous lifetime, but previous life in this life. And she doesn't remember she was married. Here I am. So I think she was married. I remember it. So anyway, she doesn't remember she was married. She doesn't remember she had a husband. She doesn't remember all the things she did with her husband, all the trips she went to, and all the fun, and this and that. Gone from her memory. Because husband disappeared, died a number of years ago, too. So he's gone. Memory's gone. And, you know, I have some memories. But as far as she's concerned, it's just as good as it never happened. That is amazing. It's even depressing if one starts to think about it. It's as if things never happened because they're wiped out from the memory. Of course, there's some pictures, and, you know, I understand that. But really, for all intents and purposes, because it's so temporary, and what to speak of next life? In so many different lives, we had husbands and wives and family and nationality and gender. Even though you may be so proud of your gender or gender orientation or something like that, in so many different lives, we had different orientations and different male, female species. Aborigines, gorillas, tigers, lambs, cats, dogs, cucarachas. And where are all those identities now? Finished. So anyway, so let's get back to the opposite of Satchitananda. Okay, Sat, Asat. Sat means eternal, Asat means temporary. And the sages think those things, not that important. It's like there was one sage, Markandeya Ricci. He was living a very long life for as many lifetimes as Lord Brahma, as I guess he has hairs on his body, or a cow had hairs, or he has hairs on his body. It's a long time. And he never built a house because he says, yeah, it's all temporary. Why should I bother? So, anyway, Sat and then Chit, Ananda. So the opposite of Chit is Achit. See, you put the A in front of it again, Achit, means not knowledge. And so, or in common parlance, the word is ignorance. So in this material world, we are ignorant. We have imperfections of our vision. We have imperfections of our reasoning ability. We don't know that much. We are ignoramuses. And especially ignorant of what? Our real identity. I mean, if I ask any of you, what is your real identity? Who are you in the spiritual world? You do not know. You don't even know who you are. You have amnesia. And chanting Hare Krishna is the cure for this amnesia. So, that's Chit, which is Achit in this world. And then you have Ananda. So with the word Ananda, you already have an A in front of it. So you got to add something else to negate it, which is called Nir. Nir Ananda, which means basically misery. This material world has what? Adiatmik, adibodhik, adidaivik, miseries. Miseries from the body and mind, miseries from the material energy in general, and miseries from other living entities. So, and right now you may not be experiencing those miseries. That's fine. Just wait a few years, a few moments, whatever. It'll get to you eventually. It's not a threat, it's not a curse, it's not a blessing. It's a practical observation of this material world. So anyway, so that's this material world. Achit, right? Asat, Achit, Nir Ananda. So let's go on. Don't want to get anyone depressed because we're going to hear about Radharani, which is not depressing. Radharani is the Ladini Sakti of the Lord, that the pleasure potency of the Lord. We're going to hear about that in a second. Krishna ke alade tate nama ladini se shakti dware sukha ashware apane. The potency called ladini gives Krishna transcendental pleasure. Through this pleasure potency, Krishna personally tastes all spiritual pleasure. Sukha rupa Krishna kare sukha ashvadana bhakta gane sukadite ladini karana. Lord Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness. Although himself is happiness personified, the pleasure relished by his pure devotees is also manifested by his pleasure potency. Ladini rasarahangsa tara prema nama ananda chinmaya rasa premera akhyana. The most essential part of this pleasure potency is love of Godhead, prema. Consequently, the explanation of love of God is also a transcendental mellow full of pleasure. Now, wow, what a sentence. The most essential part of this pleasure potency is love of Godhead, prema. Wow. In other words, you want to be happy, unlimited happiness? Love God. Consequently, the explanation of love of God is also a transcendental mellow full of pleasure. Wow. That is wonderful. Premera paramasara mahabhava jani se mahabhava rupa radha takurani. The essential part of love of Godhead is called mahabhava, transcendental ecstasy, and that ecstasy is represented by Shrimati Radharani. Tayor apyuvayor majje Radhika Sarvatadika Mahabhava Swarupayam Gunayar Ativariyasi. Among the gopis of Vrindavana, Shrimati Radharani and another gopi are considered chief. But when we compare the gopis, it appears that Shrimati Radharani is the most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. The ecstasy of love experienced by the other gopis cannot be compared to, to that of Shrimati Radharani. This is a quotation from Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjala Nilamani, which is from the Radha Prakaranand 3. Wow. So this is an indirect reference to another gopi named Chandravali. And it's interesting here that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami doesn't even mention her name. And I'm not going to explain why, because she is considered to be the competitor with Srimati Radharani. She's, no one competes with Srimati Radharani, actually. She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani, but to bring out some of the prema, some of the bhav, some of the ecstasy, and to have some like interesting exchanges, dramatic interesting exchanges, Srimati Radharani expands Chandravali. Sorry about that. Premera Swarupa Deha Prema Vibhavita Krishna Rapayasi Shrestha Jagata Vidita. The body of Srimati Radharani is a veritable transformation of love of God. And she is the dearmost friend of Krishna, and this is known throughout the world. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bhish Tapirya Heva Nija Rupatakeya Kalabihi Kolokya Heva Nivashyakilat Paputo Govinda Maripurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord,
who resides in his own realm, Goloka with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. This is a quotation from the Brahma Sangita 5, chapter 5, text 37. So in other words, Radharani's companions are her expansions and confidants. Confidants means close friends that you confide in. And they're extensions or expansions of her bodily form. And they also assist Radharani in this ever-blissful spiritual rasa or taste of her relationship with Krishna. Se Mahabhavahaya Chintamani Sara Krishna Vanchapurna Kare Ekarya Tantra. That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. Wow. Mahabhava Chintamani Radhara Sarupa Lalita Sakhi Tandrakaya Vyuha Rupa. Srimati Radharani is the topmost spiritual gem, and the other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, those are the two first expansions of Srimati Radharani, and so on, are expansions of her spiritual body. Wow. Radha Prati Krishna Sneha Sugandhi Udhvartanha Tateyati Sugandhi Deha Ujralavarana. Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental fragrances. Lord Krishna's affection for her is just like a perfumed massage. Let's see, this is probably a pretty long purport. No, we can finish this and then we'll stop for the day. Okay. Sugandhi Udvartana refers to a paste made of several perfumes and fragrant oils. This paste is massaged all over the body. In this way, the body's dirt and perspiration removed. Srimati Radharani's body is automatically perfumed, but when her body is massaged with the scented paste of Lord Krishna's affection, her entire body is doubly perfumed and made brilliant and lustrous. This is the beginning of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. This description, found in verses 165-181, is based on a book by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami known as the Premambhoja Maranda. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation of the original Sanskrit reads as follows. The love of the gopis for Krishna is full of transcendental ecstasy. It appears to be a brilliant jewel, and enlightened by such a transcendental jewel, Radharani's body is further perfumed and decorated with kumkuma. In the morning, her body is bathed in the nectar of compassion, in the afternoon, in the nectar of youth, and in the evening, in the nectar of luster itself. In this way, the bathing is performed, and her body becomes as brilliant as the Chintamani jewel. She is dressed in various kinds of silken garments, one of which is her natural shyness. Her beauty is more and more enhanced, being decorated with the red kumkum of beauty itself, and the blackish musk of conjugal love. Thus her body is decorated with different colors. Her ornaments embody the natural symptoms of ecstasy, trembling, tears, jubilation, stunning perspiration, faltering of the voice, bodily redness, madness, and dullness. In this way, her entire body is bedecked with all these different nine different jewels. Over and above this, the beauty of her body is enhanced by her transcendental qualities, which constitute the flower garland hanging on her body. The ecstasy of love for Krishna is known as Dhira and Adhira, sober and restless. Such ecstasy constitutes the covering of Srimati Radharani's body, and it is adorned by camphor. Her transcendental anger toward Krishna is embodied by the arrangement of her hair on her head, and the tilak of her great fortune shines on her beautiful forehead. Srimati Radharani's earrings are the holy names of Krishna, as well as the hearing of his name and fame. Her lips are always reddish due to the betel nut of ecstatic affection for Krishna. The black ointment around her eyes is her tricky behavior with Krishna brought about by love. Her joking with Krishna and gentle smiling constitute the camphor with which she is perfumed. She sleeps in a room with the aroma of pride, and when she lies down in her bed, the transcendental variety of her loving ecstasies is like a jeweled locket in the midst of her necklace of separation. Her transcendental breasts are covered by her sari in the form of affection and anger toward Krishna. She has a stringed instrument known as the Kachapa Veena, which is the fame and fortune that actually dries up the faces and breasts of the other gopis. She always keeps her hands on the shoulder of her gopi friend, who represents her youthful beauty, and although she is highly qualified with so many spiritual assets, she is nonetheless affected by the cupid known as Krishna. Thus she is defeated. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami offers his respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani, taking his straw in his mouth. Indeed he prays, O Gandharvika, Srimati Radharani, just as Lord Krishna never rejects a surrendered soul, please don't reject me. This is a summary translation of the Premam Bhoja Maranda, which Kaviraj Goswami quotes. So we'll end here. And we'll take some questions. Please, when you ask questions, no esoteric, intimate questions. These descriptions about Srimati Radharani are best appreciated but not understood by conditioned souls. So we don't want to get into elaborate description of what we just read. Just appreciate the poetic descriptions. Try to understand that Srimati Radharani's body and self is not material. And not only is it not material, but is imbued with Satchitananda, eternity, bliss, and knowledge, and her whole existence. Hold on a second, so much. Actually crazy that people try to call me at this time of day. So anyway, her whole existence is imbued with love for Krishna, which means the desire to please Krishna. Even her transcendental anger is there to please Krishna. In this material world, when we experience anger, it's not done to please anybody. It's done simply because we've been frustrated, people don't respect us enough, we're very attached to things in this world, we want things in this world. So our anger is not manifest to please people. Believe me. But Krishna Radharani's transcendental anger, all of her emotions are simply meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here is a question in the chat window. Out of the three energies, jivas are under the Tathastha Shakti, which is the marginal energy. We are the marginal energy. How can we understand when you explain to Gay the living souls are part of the superior spiritual energy? Is there any difference between the two types of energies? Yes, marginal energy means that we are spiritual, we have the ability to put ourselves into illusion. That's all. But by nature, we are spiritual energies. We are not material, we have no material aspect to our nature, believe me. There is no material aspect to our nature. I'm going to repeat that again and again. Because many of you think, unfortunately, being influenced by people who may preach something different than what Prabhupada preached, that there is a material aspect to our nature. There is no material aspect to our nature. However, because we have independence, we have the ability to forget our nature. The relationship is there. Like when one has amnesia, it doesn't negate the relationship that one has with one's family. One's relationship is still there. It's just that one has forgotten the relationship. So by nature, one is a member of a particular family. That doesn't change. Forgetfulness doesn't change. But because the jiva soul has that independence, that minute independence, not absolute independence, the jiva soul can choose to forget his real nature. And so he's never, first of all, he's not under the Tathastha Shakti. That's actually a misunderstanding. He's either under, the Tathastha is the line, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. It's the line, imaginary line, he gives this metaphor, between the shore and the sea. So you're either in the sea or in the shore. Because the line, if you ever studied mathematics, and some of you may have studied mathematics, and I have studied mathematics extensively, a line has no breadth. It may have a length, but it has no breath. It's just like a demarcation. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. So we're not in the Tathashta Shakti, because there's no place known as the Tathashta Shakti. We are, by nature, Tathashta Shakti. And we're not under the Tathashta Shakti. We're either under internal energy or we're under the external energy. Okay? That's really important, because that has been presented improperly by a lot of people. So there is no difference, except we are minute. There's no difference. We are spiritual energy. That is the Vishnu. Vishnu Purana states this. This is not my opinion. This is not Prabhupada's opinion. Vishnu Purana says, Vishnu Shakti Hara Prokta, that the internal potency is transcendental. And the next statement is, Vishnu Shakti Hara Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tata Para. Kshetra Gyakya means the people know the body, you know. The knower, the field. Tata is also transcendental by nature. And then, Avijakarma Sankhanyata Tira Shakti Ishate. Then there's the third potency, which is the material potency, which is called ignorant activities, which we can put ourselves under, even though we're spiritual. And we're in amnesia right now. That's the problem. The word Vishayas, also referred to in the material world, is the spelling of both, or difference, pretty much the same thing. So Vishaya means the enjoyer. Vishaya, of course, it also means, you know, the illusion. Vishaya vinivartante rasya dena rasa varjan rasya prasya. Depends on the context. That's a good question by Sri Radhika. Why does it take so long for my mind to truly get attracted to Krishna? Because you want to be independent from Krishna. You want to be the controller. You want to be the enjoyer. Ishwaroham aham bhogi siroham balavan suki. It means giving up your false sense of independence and actually just loving Krishna. Just, you know, we're not ready for it. We just want to have our cake and eat it too. Have our prasadam and eat it too. Okay, so just to rest. Harika, I'm answering the chat windows. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, the Brahma Sangita, Brahma is talking about Krishna in such detail. How does he know about this? Even when he knew this, why did he test Lord Krishna by stealing the gopas? Very good question. So, here's the answer. He knew about this because at the time of the cosmic creation, it was only Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was sitting on a lotus flower, and he heard certain words, tapa, tapa, engage in austerity. And he engaged in austerity, and everything was revealed to him at that particular time. So, including Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kapaviksha Lakshabrateshu, the spiritual world, everything, he saw everything at that time. So the question is, even when he knew this, why did he test Lord Krishna by stealing the gopas? Well, this is called the Brahma Vimohana Leela, the illusion, or the Leela of the illusion of Lord Brahma. And this is a question that many of those in the Madhva Sampradaya have been struggling with for a long time, because Brahma is our preceptor, spiritual master, the original jiva soul in our line of the cyclic succession. And the answer is, this is a pastime of Krishna. That's the answer I give. And the reason I give that answer, of course other devotees have given other answers, but ultimately it's a pastime of Krishna, just like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita appears to be an illusion. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he drops his bow, he feels some weakness of heart, he's all worried about everything, and he has to go through the whole Bhagavad Gita to hear the proper explanation. So in many of the Lord's pastimes, you have devotees who are put into apparent illusion so they can assist the Lord in their pastimes. They forget that Krishna is God. And even so, and especially the residents of Vrindavan, they forget that Krishna is God. Now it's not always when a demigod attempts to interfere in Krishna's pastimes that it's yoga maya. Like when Lord Indra attempted to kill the residents of Vrindavan, he was definitely an illusion. Because Lord Indra has some real... Well, forgive me, Lord Indra, you're a great devotee. But he has some spiritual challenges. Like even later, we've been talking about this in Bhagavatam class, even later Lord Indra tried to steal... What did he try to steal? He fought Krishna when Krishna was taking the Parijata flower or tree from the heavenly planets to Dwarka at the behest of Satyabhama. So he tends to forget because he's attached to his position. That's Lord Indra. But Lord Brahma, he became purified enough to see Krishna and understand the spiritual world and write the Brahma Sanhita. So I take that as a pastime. Now, there may be other explanations that other people give, but I take that as a pastime. Many people in the Brahma Sampradaya, they don't even talk about it. Like Madhvacharya doesn't like to talk about this particular pastime because Brahmas are Acharya. But it's a pastime. It's like the Coward Boys and the many other residents of Vrindavan are put into yoga. Now, here's another question in the chat window. Lord Krishna Bhagavad Gita says he's to be known by the Vedas. But Brahma in Brahma Sanhita says that Vedeshu Durlabhama Durlabhama Atma Bhakto. How to understand this, Guru Maharaj? Very good question. Well, he's to be known by the Vedas, but Krishna also says in the Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjana Nirdvandvo Nityasatvasto Yogikshema Atmavan. The Vedas are... how do we say this, mainly deal with the situation of people in the modes of nature. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjana. That's a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. And the reason for that is that people in this material world are in the modes of nature, and the Vedas give us a gradual process to elevate ourselves. So when you hear about the different steps in the gradual process, it's very difficult to understand which step is the ultimate, especially when you have so much variegatedness in the Vedas. This is also mentioned in the Mahabharata. Shrutina vibina is the expression utilized in the Mahabharata. Tarka pratishta shrutina vibina. That the Vedas are so multi-branched. In other words, there's something for everyone. Ultimately, the purpose, as Krishna says in 15:15 of the Gita, and that's the verse you're referring to, that by all the Vedas I am to be known. So ultimately, Krishna is to be known by the Vedas, but because there's something for everybody in that progressive gradual path of attaining the goal, one may take the different steps or the different injunctions that are for different people in different situations and therefore become confused as to what the goal is. Just like if you're going from one place to another, if you're using Google Maps or any sort of GPS situation, you'll find turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right. Now, is it goal? Yes. But because there's so many turn left, turn right, and you say, where am I going? You won't be able to figure out what the goal is unless you actually look to the last instruction, which is like that. And also, yeah, Vedeshu Durlabham. Also, it's not revealed. Naham Prakasha Sarvasha, another verse from Bhagavad Gita, Yogamaya Samavrata. To those who are envious of Krishna, Krishna doesn't reveal himself. It's like the Vedas, yes, the ultimate goal is Krishna. but it's not revealed unless one has the eyes to see. And those eyes to see are the eyes of devotion, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, shantakshadaiva ridyeshu vilokyamti, yang shaima shundarachuncha gunasvarupamadi, govindamadi purusham tamahamprajami. And the way one gets that is vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atmabhakti, by coming in touch with Krishna's devotee who guides you through the maze of the Vedas, the flowery words of the Vedas. And this is also described in the Bhagavad Gita. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see many verses that indicate the flowery words of the Vedas and the, let's say, the Vedas mainly dealing with the three modes of nature, which is the verse I just quoted right now. So, final question. All right. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are a lot of quotes from different places, but many there are from Rupa Goswami's books. How did these specific shlokas get there? Did Rupa Goswami write these before and share them with everyone? Yes. Not, I wouldn't say with everyone, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was living in Vrindavan, Radhakund, and he was living right next to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami was privy, he was one of the youngest of the Goswamis, along with Jiva Goswami. He was privy to all the writings of Rupa Goswami. And so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was privy to all the writings of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Yes, these were all done. These were all written before the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Chaitanya Charitamrita comes afterwards. And the primary source material for the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the material given by Raghunath Das Goswami, who was living basically right next to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami on the banks of the Shamakund in the place called Manasa Bhavana Ghat. So on that happy note, we're going to end. Thank you for asking nice questions. All glory. We'll see everybody tomorrow night. Same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace.